Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It will be another suitless Thursday. Now, the coach Dick Hoyer will fill in. Suit has a huge meeting going on, I believe, with someone's academic advisor. No, I'm sorry. No? Is that on it?
Not it.
Could be, though.
Sure. Can't rule it out of the realm of possibility.
Could be two meetings today.
Double bubble.
Yeah. Suit Light will be back in town for the Danville homecoming.
That's right. We warned you, Danville. He's coming home.
And local authorities have been warned. The school board has been warned. The football coaching staff has been warned. Right. So, again, I believe when it comes to the key word liability, we're safe.
That's going to be a great ball game, by the way, tomorrow night. Montoursville, Danville, and one of the surprising teams so far this season in District 4 has been Montoursville. They won the Battle of the Bridge a couple of weeks ago against Loyal Sox. So Montoursville starting to get their stride back, their swagger back, and that's a huge ball game coming up tomorrow night.
It is. And you've got Lewisburg and Chickalamia Christie tomorrow night. And you've got Selins Grove back in action tomorrow night. We'll talk with Zach Showers today. We will also talk with Greg Wetzel today and the coach Dick Hoyer today. And also Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight. CEO of what now? What is it again? I've been so used to saying Spotlight Ticket Management.
Invite manager. Yeah.
He's on today. What time's Tony? At 4:35?
Correctamundo.
1:35 out there in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yes. So, there's going to be a lot coming out in this trial involving the four assistant basketball coaches, which is underway now in New York. Now, after the last round of leaked information came out, which was late February, early March. It has been all quiet on the Western Front ever since, which blows by the theory I had had. The theory I had was, hey, look, when they get to the NCAA tournament selection week, they might leak a little bit more because they've been picking strategic spots to do it. Well, they never did do it. So, the trial is underway, and already there are more schools getting thrown under the bus with this trial. I mean, Oregon's name has been brought up. Now, you've got, let's see, Alabama's name brought up again. That's Colin Sexton. Remember, Sexton was suspended for a game last year. And Kyle Kuzma and Markelle Fultz. Fultz, of course, with the Sixers. His name brought up in this trial so far. It has been a rather interesting road here on this, and you do have to follow it closely. Brian Bowen's father is going to be on the witness stand, I believe, today. He's on. But this is an interesting trial that has huge ramifications to it. There was testimony yesterday about Louisville saying the coaching staff knew just enough but not enough. Essentially. In other words, just enough to have plausible deniability. And that's important because it is the mantra by which the suit is lived. Now,
when we pull further away from last year's college basketball season, it's just amazing how volatile it was in just such a fluid situation. You'd go from, you know, trials and tribulations at one school to another, and everything that went on at Arizona, for instance.
Well, they've got a lot of going on and a lot riding with this. There are head coaches' reputations riding on this. I'll give you one, Sean Miller at Arizona. I mean, he's been steadfast in this. The coaches at four schools mentioned in the indictment, Kansas, okay, Bill Self, Louisville, Rick Pitino, the former coach, Miami, Jim Larrañaga, NC State, right? Penn State played NC State last year. They're going to play them again. And NC State deals, I think, mostly with Dennis Smith Jr. But here are some other schools that have to be worried about what's going on here. How about in the Big Ten, Maryland and Michigan State? How about in the SEC, LSU? How about in the Pac-12, Arizona? How about in the Big East, Creighton and DePaul? There's a player, Sylvia D'Souza, that is very important in all of this. That has to be mentioned. Because he was going to go to, look like, to Maryland. It has been incredible to see everything that is out there. And Brian Bowen is a central figure in all of this. I mean, Bowen, for example, he made two visits to Creighton. And again, a critical guy in this is a runner by the name of Christian Dawkins, whom I believe is located in central Michigan.
Yeah, one of the, some of the revelations that popped up in court yesterday, there was a document that suggested that Christian Dawkins paid $5,000 to Colin Sexton, the former Alabama player, and another called for $1,500 a month to Sexton, $21,000 for travel for his family, and even locking in a four-year job for his brother with an average of $35,000 a year and a $5,000 annual raise.
Well, I mean,
that's just toward one player.
Right. And then Oregon's name got brought up earlier in the week. Like, okay.
Yeah, Troy Brown. Yeah, there was a document that suggested that not only Troy Brown would get cash, well, he was going to use cash to purchase tickets for a Floyd Mayweather fight. And then there was a proposed another $2,500 a month to another player, Lamar Peters. But yeah, there's just been so many names that have been tossed around in documents this week.
You know, the federal government is, over the years, you know, for example, O.J. Mayo and Reggie Bush at USC, they've kind of stayed away from that. Have you ever heard the O.J. Mayo, the alleged recruiting story at O.J. Mayo?
I remember there was so much hype toward him as he was getting out of high school.
Yeah, well, he ended up at USC.
Yeah.
You want to know when the USC coaching staff found out he was going to go to USC?
Let's see. Probably the day he showed up at school.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hi, I'm here.
I think it was the night before he got a call. He said, I'll be on campus tomorrow.
Hey, coach, like, what number are you going to give me?
They're like, what? I mean,
they take size 15.
I mean, the rumor has always been that he made a phone call the night before and said, I will be there tomorrow. And, of course, they didn't believe it until he showed up and went, okay. Now, he didn't help them win, but that's how interesting this is.
I'm not saying head coaches in a situation like that have one hand tied behind their back, but it just seems like, you know, a higher power is just running the whole thing, and you just don't have... You just wish you'd get up in the morning. Yes, you kind of look at yourself in the mirror. Do I really have full control of my program? And then something happens.
That's where they're putting the plausible deniability in. Plausible deniability is when she's, I didn't really know about this. Right? Because they're trying to keep certain, quote, people out of it. Right? while having loose rein on what's going on. So we'll see how this plays out. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. Now, there's another issue, and that is with student attendance at Alabama. Have you heard about this? Nick Saban, not enamored with student attendance. And they didn't show up for the University of Louisiana game. It's their fault, and it's Nick's fault, and we'll explain why in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, Alabama. Look, they're complaining about student attendance. There were a lot of empty seats Saturday for their game against the University of Louisiana, formerly Louisiana Lafayette. Well, you know, part of the problem that they have at Alabama is Alabama. Because, and I'm not talking about the success and the winning and all that. That's what draws you in to watch the games. But they play about as bad a non-conference home schedule every year as you could possibly ask a team to play. I mean, this year it's Arkansas State, the University of Louisiana, and the Citadel. Those are their three home non-conference games. Well, guess what? Every year, those are the non-conference games they play at home. Well, it's probably like 75, 80 degrees down in Alabama on a Saturday afternoon in late September. And they're playing another team that everybody expects to win 63-14. Back in the days of Bear Bryant, Alabama scheduling was adventurous. They were the only team in the South until Bobby Bowden came along that was adventurous in its scheduling. Penn State had a four-game series with Tennessee. Two were played in Knoxville, but didn't come back up here. They had a two-game series set with Auburn in the 80s. Nah, never showed up. That's the way it's been in the SEC forever. You know, now, everybody talks about how tough and whatever. Nobody ever brings it up. I mean, I don't get it. You know, it's because it's Southern football, it's supposed to be. That's why I poo-pooed it so many times over the years, you know, when Penn State's played Tennessee, oh, the Southern speed. I'm like, going, Southern speed? What are you talking about? I watched the combine.
Well, you're right, though. How many times on this show have we laughed at Alabama when the week they play Auburn, who's on the schedule?
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what I haven't laughed about it. I've been dead serious about it. Like, they don't get docked for playing that game. I'd have knocked them down 3-4 pegs saying and explained, shouldn't be playing them down the stretch when you need games. Shouldn't. Right? And tell Nick Saban straightforwardly. Say, you know what? I don't like how you schedule. So I voted you 8th this week. What? You can't do that. Oh, yeah, I can. I think playing Mercer, or in this case this year will be the Citadel, is a mockery of college football to play it in your stretch run. I mean, do you realize the last game Alabama won before the college football playoff was Mercer last year? That's the last game they won before their college football playoff game. You're telling me the Mercer game puts you over the top? Really? Didn't have to play a 13th game. But in Game 11, you beat Mercer. That was enough to show us. It's an embarrassment to the College Football Playoff Committee. Yeah, and I know Alabama won it last year. I got it. They shouldn't have been in. Hey, they've had two of those now where they got in on benefit of the doubt. I'm like, I'm sorry, it doesn't light me up. You know, and I keep hearing most deserving, most... Just knock it off. You know what? They're making a mockery of the system as to what they do. Right? And now their own fans are telling them, you're making a mockery of the home schedule. Their own students are telling them, plain as day. Nick can complain all he wants about, oh, but guess what? Play somebody. They keep playing these neutral site games every year, which I understand that it is financially beneficial to Alabama to do it. You are getting a lot of money to play those games in Orlando like they did with Louisville this year, like Florida State last year in Atlanta, going to Jerry World to play. You know, and usually, you know, they've been good opponents. This year it wasn't. Louisville was... I couldn't believe they put it on the schedule and everybody built it up. It was a big deal. I thought, are you kidding me? Lamar Jackson's playing for the Ravens now. You do know that, correct? He's the only one that made Louisville relevant the last couple of years. But they played Florida State last year, and they're the ones that knocked DeAndre Francois out. Well, it turns out Florida State is not a good football program right now. Just not. All right, and then they keep scheduling Arkansas State, Louisiana. They had Colorado State a couple of years ago. You know, Citadel, the Mercer games. I'm sorry, how do you expect your fans to react when the last legitimate non-conference team you played at home was Penn State in 2010? Really? Really? I mean, and you're going to get on your fans because you don't give them something that's at least somewhat enticing?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bob Grove and the opening of the NHL season coming up. And Tony Knopp on the business of sports in the final half hour. Let's get to previewing the games. Eagle 107. Tomorrow night. 7 o'clock the kickoff. 6 o'clock the airtime at Eagle 107. Sealands Grove at home with Shemokin. Zach Showers joins us. Hello, Zach. How's everything?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself, Steve?
Doing well. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate that very much. All right, so here we are at this point. About halfway, Zach? Maybe a little bit past halfway?
Yep, absolutely. Going into week seven.
Let's go. Okay, since First Man, the movie coming up with Ryan Gosling's coming up, we'll take an Apollo 13 reference, okay? What's good on the spacecraft?
Actually, what's been really, really good the past 2 weeks has been the Sealands Grove defense. Going into the year, there was a lot of inexperience, a lot of new guys, and they have almost been dominant the past 3 weeks. Despite giving up 21 points to Berwick, they really locked things down last week, only giving up 7 points to Loyal Stock. And actually, in the course of the game, they had 2 defensive touchdowns, one a 32-yard fumble return by Ben Swinford and a 95-yard pick six by Josh Nyland. So overall, this defense has really, really stepped up the past couple weeks. They're shutting down the running game. Pretty much everybody but Southern Columbia has been shut down. And the passing game, teams have thrown on them a little bit, but they've really ratcheted down throughout the game and made some nice adjustments.
I mean, when you look at how they play defensively, can you see a team now, when I talk about playing faster, I don't mean the physical foot speed, but you can see mentally that they know what they see and they go after it. Is that what we're seeing at Sealands Grove defense that's playing faster?
Yes, you are. And the big thing, Sealands Grove has been known for running a 3-5 defense. That's starting to become a lot more common at the high school level. And where you really see that inexperience at the beginning of the year was with the linebackers. Sealands Grove had to replace 4 linebackers. And guys have jumped in there, and now you're seeing week 6. Those guys are just flying around. They're making plays. They're stopping the run game. They're getting in on the quarterback. And you're also seeing some defensive tackles. Blaze Zeiters continues to just be incredible. The last 3 weeks, he has 25 tackles, 7 tackles for a loss, and 2 sacks. And a former linebacker, Nate Schoen, moved to D end with him. And he's just been getting upfield quite a bit. So you're just seeing a defense, yeah, that's absolutely playing a lot faster. Mentally, they know what's going on, and they're kind of playing with an edge. They know they're the strength of the team right now, and they're playing like that.
Is the offense doing enough now to complement the defense?
They are. We saw a little bit of a difference this past week against Loyal Sock. After some struggles passing the game and getting things going, the Salins Grove coaching staff really challenged the offensive line to step it up. You see it with Joe Kahn, who's the senior running back. He just had 179 yards in the first 6 weeks of the first 5 weeks of the season, and he ended up rushing for 168 yards and 2 touchdowns, most of them coming in the second half. So I think it was really the first game that you really felt pretty good about how the offensive line played. They showed up, they played smash mouth football, and I think it's going to be interesting to see moving forward if this team goes to a little bit more of the I formation and running out of the shotgun as opposed to trying to use the pass to set up the run.
Right, I'm going to have fun with everybody on this today, so I want to ask about this. What is a Friday night high school football atmosphere to you?
It's just awesome. I think one of the biggest things, having grown up in Salins Grove and going to games since I was a little kid and in high school, and even teaching in the district now, I think what's great about it is it just brings the community together. We'll see it on Friday night with it being homecoming. You see a lot of people that, you know, maybe haven't been around the town for a few years coming back to games. And I just think it's a lot of fun. It's something, one of the few places where you see pretty much the whole town on a Friday night. And that's what gets me excited about high school football, and I think it's what gets a lot of fans and the team passionate about Salins Grove and other places in the Valley as well.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Zach, very much.
Thanks. Have a good evening.
All right. We got Shikellamy playing Lewisburg at Christie coming up tomorrow night. WKOK will be a 7 o'clock start with a 6:30 airtime, and the coach, Dick Hort, now joins us. Coach, great to have you with us, especially coming off the performance last week. What did you like about what you saw?
Well, I liked the way they responded when our quarterback, Duncan Weir, went down with a fractured collarbone. And with our first string quarterback starting the year out, Drew Balestrini, third string quarterback, came in and sparked the offense. And it seemed like the offensive line matured greatly around them during the game and rose to the occasion and put some points on the board, which has been quite a chore for the Braves this year.
So what rhythm did they find? And was it a consistent rhythm that they can build upon?
Well, it was mostly running game. They were only 3 for 13 in the passing game with 3 interceptions. But they ran the ball pretty well. They had a 71-yard touchdown run, which was the cross block out of the wing tee, and it was blocked extremely well. I don't think anybody laid a hand on the ball carrier, and he went 71 yards for a score. At that point, the game was 3-0. That put Chick up, and that really rallied them. It was homecoming. There were a lot of fans there that hadn't been there all year, maybe coming from far away, and they just seemed to put some life in the kids. And I also like the way that Balestrini runs the waggle. I'm sure you know what the waggle is. It's, you know, the bootleg yeah. out of the wing tee.
Yep.
The you know, they run sweep one way or sweep look one way, and they come back to the weak side. And he ran it real well. Now, he didn't throw real well because he had 3 interceptions. But he made decisions. He got out there, and on 3 different occasions, he saw that there was a room to run. He put the ball away, and he turned it up and gained anywhere from 5 to 9 yards and made a real good play out of something that could have been a negative play. And that just seemed to spark the kids. And it seemed to take the life out of Central Mountain and propel our kids to the victory, which they needed greatly.
And you know darn well, Dick, and I'm preaching to the choir, one of the keys to running that particular play, I don't care whether you're running in natural hand or opposite, it comes with really practice where you've got to have the ability to have your shoulders squared to the line of scrimmage to make that throw, and that just comes with actually doing it.
Yeah, well, he didn't have that many reps. I think Todd in the paper this week said that he came into the game probably getting about 10% of the reps in practice all year, and he really stepped up. And I'm going to really look forward to how it responds this week, because he's going to be the guy starting on Friday night up to Christie, and it's going to be something to see how he comes along.
This was the first time that the Shikellamy defense had to defend a lead. How well did they respond?
Well, real well, real well. They shut down the first half. Central Mountain ran the ball quite well. And they were getting yardage. They were moving the ball. They only had 3 points, but they should have had probably 10, 12 more points, and they would turn it over or something. And Braves hung in the game. And once they got that lead, that 7-3 lead, they completely shut down in the second half. They shut down the Central Mountain offense. I think they had a total of 27 total yards in the second half. Now, some of that was due to sacking the quarterback that took pretty good chunks off, but it was a great defensive effort in the second half against Central Mountain.
What do you think of the matchup with Lewisburg this week?
It's going to be a tough one. Lewisburg is big, physical, and they have a great runner. They have a runner by the name of Max Moyers, the sophomore who has gained over 1,000 yards this year. Last year, he's the first kid, as far as anybody knows, in District 4 as a freshman that gained 1,000 yards in a year. He's 5'10", 185 pounds, powerful, low, bowling ball-type runner with good speed. He doesn't have great elite speed, but it seems like nobody can catch him once he gets through that line and turns it up the field. And they have a big physical line. They average over 250 pounds per man. They have a couple of kids that are considered to be marginal Division I prospects, and they have been running the ball against everybody this year with great efficiency, except one team, Mount Carmel. And Mount Carmel's always tough to run against. So, and they have a quarterback, Shedleski, who has a good quarterback rating on the year, but the only team that shut him down on the ground, other than Mount Carmel, was Shamokin. I watched the tape this morning on Shamokin, and they put 8-9 guys in the box, and they dared Lewisburg to throw the football. And Shedleski had his worst game of the year, and he had a quarterback rating for that game of 28. But he's a pretty good quarterback. He's a pretty good kid, and that was out of sync for him. Nobody can understand that, why that happened in that game, because that was the only time in 2 years as a starter that has happened.
Finally, I asked Zach this, I'll ask Greg this as well. I want to ask you, I mean, you've coached it, and now you've announced it for a long time. What's a high school Friday night to you mean?
Oh, it's all the kids coming back. You know, to me, it's the kids that I coached coming back to the press box, you know, and saying, how you doing, coach? You know, how are you? You know, and all that kind of stuff. And that's great. You like that. And then you get some emails from people, you know, say, hey, I talked to so-and-so, and he saw you at the game on Friday night. And the big thing is, like, we have a great football tradition at Shikellamy. And the
yes.
fans, regardless of whether we win or lose, the fans are in the stands. Now, the games like Selinsgrove has a fan base the same way. When they play Schick at Schick, and when we go over there, the stands are full, and the people are back and forth. It's a tremendous atmosphere. Danville's the same way, okay? We should play Danville every year. The league doesn't do it that way anymore. This year we didn't play Danville. We should. That's a travesty. We should play them every year. Oh, we didn't play them this year. I'm sorry. We didn't play them the last 2 years. And, you know, Danville brings a great crowd. The atmosphere is tremendous. The kids get fired up. The coaches get fired up. We call it a backyard rivalry, you know, because they're 10 miles up the road and Selinsgrove's 4 miles down the road. And I hope it never comes to the point where we don't play Selinsgrove anymore, but it should be, that atmosphere should be there every night. Unlike Central Mountain, we play Central Mountain, they're 60 miles away from us. They haven't won a game. I counted 31 people in the stands from Central Mountain. That dials it down a whole lot. And it's our atmosphere with our fans is terrific.
Coach, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All righty. Hey, we're doing a pretty good job together. Maybe we ought to get Kevin out of here every Thursday.
Well, you know what? Right now, I mean, it's been a landslide about people feeling that way.
I mean, he's going to like that.
I know that.
All right.
Thanks,
see you,
thanks, Coach. Enjoy it.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to the other side. Greg Wetzel. Greg, great to always have you with us, my friend.
Great to be here, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So I'm going to go with the first question I asked Zach. So here we are a little bit more than halfway past the midway point of the season. So let's go with the Apollo 13 reference. What's good on the spacecraft right now?
The offensive line, defensive lines. They've really been controlling most of the games this year. They're rushing for an average of about 250 yards a game, and the defense is putting pressure on the opposing quarterbacks and for most part stopping the running games. So I would have to say the offensive and defensive lines.
Which then, of course, sets up the ground game. Coach Ward just talked about that. I mean, you have to have a running back and a running game that understands how to work with that line. How in sync are they?
Boy, they just seem to be in sync. Every week they just get better and better at it. And Max is really good. He is. He can make you miss, okay? Don't get me wrong here. But, boy, he takes that foot and puts it in the ground and makes that one cut, and he is off. And if you don't tackle him within 3-4 yards of the line of scrimmage, he's gone. And he has done that every game this year.
Hey, Greg, you and I talked about Max in the hallway not long ago. Yeah. I mean, for a sophomore, just describe the power and burst combination that he has.
It is. It's hard to believe. It's here's a kid that's 5'10", 185 pounds, and I don't know if he has 5% body fat on him. He's a well-put-together kid. It's I have 5% body fat in my big toe, for crying out loud. You know? This kid doesn't, and he just takes off. He just puts his foot in the ground and goes, and he's very knowledgeable of the offense. He's a great pass receiver. He's a good blocker, pass blocker. So he is really an all-around football player. He could play linebacker for them on defense if they needed him, but right now they don't need him. He's a great kid. On top of all that, a couple weeks ago he scored 5 touchdowns, and he asked one of the reporters asked him what was his favorite touchdown, and it was the touchdown his fullback scored. He said, that's my favorite touchdown because that was his first touchdown that he's ever scored. So I mean, he's just a great kid.
Yeah, and that means a lot.
It really does.
And the other part, too, Greg, is you can't break some of these runs without really good blocking, as you reference, of the wide receivers.
Correct. And they're doing a wonderful job of that, the wide receivers downfield. We have a little wide receiver, 5'5", Andrew Ramirez. Last week against Bloomsburg, he was 20 yards downfield throwing a block to break him loose for the entire touchdown run. Instead of getting caught or maybe tackled 25 yards downfield, he made that block to spring him for about a 60-yard run.
Shikalimi was able to get to the lead last week, and their defense then took over and they won it. How important is it in your estimation, Greg, that Lewisburg plays with the lead in this game?
I think that is a key point to the game, that Lewisburg gets ahead, because Shikalimi really has difficulty throwing the football right now. And if Lewisburg can take them out of their run game and force them to pass, that will play into Lewisburg's defensive hands, because they really do get after the quarterback. And I think Shikalimi will be in real trouble if that happens.
Coach was mentioning about, look, this is Shikalimi-Lewisburg. Mm-hmm. Give me the fun of the rivalry between the two.
Well, the most fun of the rivalry is Coach Tilford used to coach at Lewisburg.
Yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
Now none of these players played for Coach Tilford, but believe me, they remember that Coach Tilford was the coach at Lewisburg several years ago. So that will be an interesting component to the game. And they see each other in the summers, you know, with the summer 7-on-7 leagues and stuff like that that they do. So the kids are familiar with each other. The coaches are familiar with each other. And so I think that will play into it. But also their communities, like Coach Hort has mentioned, they're 10 miles apart. These kids know each other. They see each other at the movie theater or the, you know, the mall or whatever, you know. They see each other. So there are bragging rights that go on to games like this. And that's what's great about high school football.
Yeah, see, that was going to be the last question I was going to ask you. I mean, what is a high school football Friday night? What does that mean? Because, you know, it's interesting because I talked to a group of athletic directors and mm-hmm. coaches this week. And the fact Penn State had to play that game at Illinois on a Friday night, and of course, you know, nobody's enamored with it, and they're happy I've made statements about how I feel about Friday night high school football. All right, so that's where the topic came up. What does it mean to you?
You know, to me, football, let me say this. I'm going to talk to you about a former superintendent at Lewisburg. I won't mention any names. They wanted to get a new school built in Lewisburg, a new high school. And they went to the football coach and said, the best way we can get a new football field is if you go undefeated. I mean, a new high school is if you go undefeated. And that's what it is. It rallies the whole community around one thing, you know, a sports team. When Lewisburg went to the state playoffs several years ago, we went down to Hershey Stadium. I'll bet there were 3,000 people from Lewisburg at that game on a Saturday afternoon. Right. And they played West Philadelphia. The quarterback for West Philadelphia ended up at Penn State. His name slips my mind right now. He played wide receiver at Penn State. And they had maybe 100 people in the stands.
Yeah.
You know, it's just different. And that's the way a home game is at Lewisburg. They have a good following. Lewisburg has a tremendous band. They have probably 2,500 people sitting in the stands at night. At Bucknell Stadium, it doesn't look like many because Bucknell holds about 10,000. But they get a good crowd, and it's you see former players coming back. You see former people that I went to school with at Lewisburg, you know, 45, 50 years ago, they're coming back to watch the game. You see parents and grandparents coming to watch their kids, you know, their grandchildren or children play. It's just a fun atmosphere in the community, in every community in the area.
Trying to think, what year was that again?
Well, I graduated in 71.
Okay. Former wideout. I'm trying to run through my head.
Oh, no. 2011. Yeah, he played quarterback for them. He was I could tell you he was number 7, Steve. And I can't remember his name.
So it was 2011.
Yeah, 2011 was the state playoff game. He was from West Philadelphia.
Okay.
And I can't think of his name to save my life. But,
okay.
Yeah, he went to Penn State, played at Penn State.
It'll hit you on the way home while you're in the truck.
It will. I'll call you back.
Yeah, well, text me later. Because I was thinking like way back, like a guy like Terry Rutkowski.
No, this was 2011.
Because I was thinking about Greg Hettinger, who was killed in a car crash. Right. But he was a 2008 player.
He was a real good athlete. Like I said, he was a great high school athlete. At college, he played some wide receiver. Like I said, I just can't remember his name right now.
Yeah.
So, his lips.
You know,
I'm getting older.
Are we all? You're just aging better than I am. That's all. Hey, Greg, thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay, 100.9 The Valley of the Lewisburg broadcast at 6:30. News Radio 1070 WKOK has the Shikellamy broadcast at 6:30, and then Shamokin's at Sealands Grove and Eagle 107 with a 6 o'clock airtime and a 7 o'clock kickoff. We'll come back with more in a moment. Bob Grove and then Tony Knopp will join us in the final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.